You're listening to the Food Freedom Life Podcast. My name is Brittany Allison, and I spent 6+ years stuck in diet binge cycles, hating my body and envying others who seem to have it all because I never felt enough. What I discovered in my journey to food freedom and becoming a registered dietitian is this: you can either live your life at war with your mind or learn to work in sync with it. So if you're ready to learn how to be in tune with yourself and evolve your life, welcome to the show. I've been enjoying this new every other week format for the podcast, and I hope you are too, but if you're missing me in between, I invite you to join me over at the Empowered Eaters Collective, where for $37 a month, you get access to my online community where you can meet other people who are also working on intuitive eating and ditching diet culture. You get bonus content, you get weekly live Q&As or group coaching and just live hangouts with me, and you get my Food Freedom Forever courses as well as other bonuses. If you're interested in joining the Empowered Eaters Collective, head to brittanyallisonrd.com/membership. or visit the link in the show notes to enroll. In today's episode, we are talking about weight loss. So a lot of people come to intuitive eating looking to better their relationships with food and their bodies, and many of those people also come to intuitive eating with the hopes that they're going to lose weight by practicing the principles. Honestly, that was me at the beginning of my intuitive eating experience, and it's true for a lot of people when they come to intuitive eating. This is super normal. It's not anything that you're doing wrong coming to intuitive eating that way or anything like that. But I really wanted to use this episode to dive into the nuances of weight loss and intuitive eating and help you understand what it means to tie those two together and why you may want to work on untangling them from one another so you can really get the most out of intuitive eating and it can be really the thing that brings you inner peace when it comes to food in your body. I know I've said this before on the show, but I'll say it again because it's so important, but I cannot predict what the outcome of intuitive eating is going to be for you when it comes to your weight. I wish I could look into my crystal ball and tell you exactly what's going to happen, whether your weight is going to go up, down, stay the same, or go up and then down. There is no specific outcome that's going to be the same for every single person across the board other than working towards healing our relationship with our food and with eating and with exercise and with all of it. So be careful to also not let people on social media who warn of intuitive eating and weight gain to scare you off, because that's not a guarantee, just like weight loss is not a guarantee. I think we tend to find safety in diets because it feels like they guarantee weight loss, but they actually don't. Really, right? Long-term weight loss is 97% unlikely to happen with diets. Short-term, sure, but long-term, no. 2/3 of people who diet gain back more weight than they lost, but yet we find comfort in diets and people on social media scare you off of intuitive eating because of potential weight gain. But it's not like diets are really following through on their promises of weight loss anyways. With intuitive eating, the outcome's really just going to be different for everybody because as cheesy as it sounds, it's more about the journey, not the destination. It's very different from something like a 21-day fix or 75 hard or 30-day shred or anything like that. You know, it's not following a specific diet or meal plan or exercise program to achieve some sort of specific short-term outcome, which is what we're used to doing when it comes to following some sort of eating-based program. A lot of the time when we make these shifts, we make them on the understanding that it's a shorter term commitment with a shorter term outcome, although we kind of hope that it won't just be a short term outcome. And the reality is, studies on dieting show that diets do work in the short term. People do lose weight on diets, but long term, it does not last. With intuitive eating, some people might lose weight, some people might gain weight, some people might stay exactly the same weight when they practice intuitive eating, and some people's weights might go up and down, and all of those are perfectly fine outcomes. It's really important to recognize there are no specific body size outcomes with intuitive eating, and that's short-term or long-term, because again, when you think of a program that's related to changing how we eat, usually that is some sort of time-based program like Whole 30, 75 hard, 21-day fix, or something like that. And the advertised outcome for these short-term food and exercise-related programs is weight loss. And I've run into this with a lot of the people that I've worked with because it's hard to wrap our minds around this idea that weight loss is not going to be a predictive outcome, right? Once you start intuitive eating, because we spend so long trying these programs in this cycle of yo-yo dieting or program hopping or whatever, and it's just become the norm. That's what our brains are used to. And it becomes hard to recognize that there are other ways out there too. I also think it's really, really hard for people to wrap their head around the idea that intuitive eating is a very long-term thing, right? It's a lifelong thing. Intuitive eating isn't the kind of thing where in 30 days you'll see a difference or necessarily feel this massive difference. It's more like you'll feel really good for a while, you'll maybe feel bad for a while, you'll have a breakthrough, you'll feel good again. You're going to be really constantly peeling back the layers of the onion and doing this work in some form or another for a really long time. A year is not a long time to be practicing intuitive eating, but when you look at it in the big picture, especially when you're used to looking at things like 30 days, 75 days, 21 days, whatever it is, it's like, oh my God, a year is a huge investment of time. I should be a pro by now. But no, intuitive eating, it's a long-term program. It's a lifelong practice. And because of this, our bodies might change when we initially begin incorporating some of the intuitive eating principles into our lives, right? We might lose weight, we might gain weight, we might stay the same weight. But I think it's really important to point out that our bodies will very likely change again over time as we continue practicing intuitive eating over the course of the rest of our lives, because bodies are meant to change. It's very common for people to begin practicing intuitive eating with the hopes that they'll lose weight. And again, I was totally one of these people. I've definitely also worked with people who have shared that with me, that at the beginning of our time together, they were completely invested and excited and understood and believed in and were ready to do the work of intuitive eating. And they shared too that, you know, they might hope that they're going to lose some weight, but we'll see what happens, and that's okay. We live in a world that is full of weight stigma, fat phobia, anti-fatness, and intuitive eating is, at least on social media, almost entirely practiced by thin white women. And here is what I think is important to know. If you have been restricting for a really long time and repressing your weight for years, you may be more likely to gain some weight. The amount of weight gain is going to vary pretty greatly, right? Not everybody is going to end up in a large body or a plus size body by any means. Genetics plays a huge role in body size. The people who diet and they keep the weight all the way off, if we looked at it, they are actually just genetically smaller bodied people. And so it's not so much the diet worked, it's that they were genetically more likely to be thin people to begin with and essentially just leaned into that. So I think something similar is true here, that okay, I say you might lose weight, you might gain weight, you might stay the same, but it is really just about your genetics. And the thing about dieting is that if you fight your genetics, you can't change that, right? You are going to forever be battling your body to be a certain size that it just does not want to be. And that's going to lead to a lot of negative mental health outcomes, behaviors, and really drain you from your life. As you very well know, right? You've been there. And accepting your genetics is not saying, oh, I give up on trying to take care of myself or take care of my health. Like, no. If anything, it's helping you embody, you know, both of those things, taking care of your body, taking care of your health more fully, because you can actually focus on them instead of the pursuit to always be smaller, because they are separate things. Health improves from behavior change, whether weight changes or not. And if we can shift focus away from weight, we end up being able to engage in behaviors that are a lot more sustainable and benefit us in the longer term. And intuitive eating brings our weights into the range that they want to be at, where we don't have to fight them all the time to stay at. But yes, having said all of that, it is totally normal to be holding up the hope that you're going to be one of those people that loses weight on intuitive eating. You can be sick of dieting and still want to lose weight, right? You can know that diets don't work and still on some level think that there might be one out there that's going to finally work for you. You can start an intuitive eating practice and still be hoping for weight loss. It's not black and white, all or nothing. It's a both and. It's not an either or thinking that you have to get past wanting weight loss before you start working on intuitive eating. It's kind of like thinking that you have to get fit before going to the gym or seeing a personal trainer, right? You don't have to, you know, have your toothache go away before you see the dentist. That just doesn't make sense. Addressing our beliefs and our desires on weight loss is a part of an intuitive eating practice. Dismantling diet culture beliefs is part of an intuitive eating practice. We have to let go of weight loss goals to truly become an intuitive eater, and learning to let go of those goals is part of the intuitive eating framework, right? The first principle is rejecting the diet mentality. It's not focusing on hunger or fullness. It's not nutrition. It's not exercise. It's the diet mindset. And that's definitely intentional. That's on purpose. It's designed that way, because letting go of weight loss thoughts is really, really hard. And it's a key part of the work. and we have to come to terms with the reality that you can't fully pursue an intuitive eating practice without eventually unpacking all of the uncomfy feelings and beliefs that we might be holding on to about our bodies and other bodies in general, right? Eventually, we have to understand that our relationship to food is actually driven by our relationship to our bodies, right? We don't just start changing the way that we're eating for no reason. We do it because we have a negative relationship with our bodies. And that means recognizing how that relationship to our bodies is shaped by the thin ideal that's rooted in anti-fat bias and racism and all that stuff. Because if we're not talking about that, if we're not talking about diet culture as a system of oppression and as a vessel for upholding other systems of oppression, then our intuitive eating work will always just be surface level and you're never going to truly get to where you want to get to. If we're not taking stock of our values and who we are and who we want to be and finding ourselves outside of diet culture and also looking at all the ways that diet culture doesn't align with our higher level values, then we're never going to be able to really move away from them entirely. Unpacking all of the diet culture narratives about bodies is a lot harder work than just giving yourself permission to eat a cookie or eat a pizza or something like that. And it's also totally normal to feel a lot of resistance about starting down that path of doing that work. It's normal and fine for you to feel like, ugh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But for pretty much every single person I work with, they get to a point in their food freedom journeys where they're like, okay, if I'm really being honest with myself, I was totally hoping that I'd be one of the people who lost weight on an intuitive eating. And it's usually several months into our work together before they can really admit that they want to start to work on that. So it's a very deeply ingrained, almost subconscious hope that's living in the back of their heads the whole time while we're doing the work. It's almost like an awakening of, I really want to incorporate intuitive eating as a practice in my life, and I want this to be something that aligns with my personal values, and that means probably, you know, letting go of this strong desire for weight loss is also something that I have to do. But once they realize it, honestly, things do tend to get better and easier because then we can work directly on that and also shift focus to behaviors that feel supportive outside of weight loss and discovering all of that. Most people don't come into this work being like, I'm fine with gaining weight. That's just not how it goes, right? And so it's okay if you're not there either. It takes doing work and to some extent tiptoeing around it a little bit or approaching it gently until you get to the point where you're like, no, we actually have to focus on this now. We can only go so far with intuitive eating if we can't unpack those goals and start working on divesting from them. There's only so many times you can go in the circle of making peace with food and dealing with emotional eating and stuff like that until you realize that your feelings about your body are making you mentally restrict and therefore are getting in the way of you making peace with food. Your feelings about your body are causing your emotions that are propelling and continuing your emotional eating, right? We can't address that unless you're willing to unpack your emotions about your body. Your feelings about your body are why you're not fully honoring your hunger and only eating to a certain point, or why you're afraid of feeling full, why you're afraid of eating more on the weekdays and then you end up binging on the weekends, right? There's just only so far we can go with all of the other work until we start going in circles. There's only so much progress we can make until we can really get deeper. Otherwise, we're just in a loop. And that's okay to be there for a while, right? You can still make a lot of wonderful progress and come a really long way, but at a certain point, we need to really face it and go deeper. And this is where I think you'll see people make comments like, oh, I tried intuitive eating for 3 months and it didn't work. That's where this really comes in, because you can initially do all the foundational, basic level knowledge and learning of intuitive eating, but you can only take it so far without really digging in and doing the harder stuff versus just the surface level things. And I think this tends to happen a lot to people who, you know, listen to a lot of podcasts, and maybe you're one of those people, or follow a lot of people on social media, and they come to a certain point with intuitive eating where they're kind of doing part of it, but it's not really feeling the way that they want it to feel. They're not getting to the places that they want to get to. And that's because you're stuck in the surface level, right? We need to do the deeper work. We need to unpack all the reasons why you didn't think you could have the food in the first place. And you're only going to get so far right? Eventually, we have to do the work. We can't sidestep the body image work and the work on the weight loss narratives, because our bodies deserve respect and they deserve care no matter what size they're at. Bodies are always changing, but we have this expectation that as a grown adult, we're supposed to have the same body shape and size that we had when we were like, you know, 16, 18, 20 years old, when for a lot of us, we were, you know, still growing or in the thick of eating disorders or disordered eating or heavily dieting or partying or whatever, and pretend that, you know, we hadn't gone through those changes that happen in adulthood. Our bodies are meant to change. They're meant to get bigger. They're meant to change shapes and sizes. And we often think of body changes as only weight gain or weight loss, but bodies change in a lot of other ways too. And I think I even had always framed that in my mind and in my head around weight gain or weight loss as the only two things that can happen to your body. But as we age, the distribution of weight changes, there's different texture and distribution of muscle and skin tone. Our bodies are softer or harder in different places, or like in pregnancy, your hips often widen and that's not always temporary, or your feet grow. And then injuries and illnesses could happen at any time for any reason, or changes in our abilities. And so the process that we go through in intuitive eating of learning to honor and accept our bodies in whatever form is, you know, that's a skill that really lasts us a lifetime. It's something that we are going to draw on over and over and over again throughout our lives for way more reasons than just gaining or losing weight. And this reminds me a lot of our fitness abilities too, because I know for me personally, I might not be able to squat what I used to squat or deadlift or press or whatever. One, just because I don't really have the desire to do all of the heavy strength training that I used to do. And it just also doesn't really feel good to lift heavy weights, at least not right now. And I think that can be said not necessarily just for strength training or weightlifting, but any sort of sport or exercise or movement, and recognizing that our preferences, our abilities, the time, the energy we have to commit to certain movement related things, that's also going to change over time. Then that's also going to impact our bodies too. And that's not a bad thing. But we cannot treat our bodies as temporary, right? Our bodies are always changing. We have to treat our bodies with the same respect and care and stop viewing them as temporary. But also that respect and care needs to encompass all the changes that they're going to go through, because truly everything about our bodies is temporary. You know, we're also only here for a very brief amount of time before we all die. But the difference is, are we hoping for them to change, or are we accepting that change is a part of them? Because they're two very different things. Are we hoping for them to change, or are we accepting that change is part of having a body? Learning to accept is really about learning to let go of controlling our bodies, because we really can't control them as much as we're led to believe, as much as diet culture wants us to believe that we can control them, right? Because when we believe that we can control our bodies 100%, we are more likely to buy into diet programs and pills and, you know, weight loss gimmicks and whatever else. And especially for those of us who love structure and control, that's a skill to, you know, let go of control. And it's something that can really translate into so many other areas of our lives where we also should probably let go of control, because maybe we can't control it as much as we are led to believe we could. So how we can start to get into this and digging into this weight loss desire in a way that's going to actually help you in the moment, there are steps. First being, I just want to be really clear first that you might always occasionally have those desires for weight loss, right? The goal is to make that happen less often, to also make it have less of an impact on you, and to have you be in a place where you can manage it, where it's not going to send you chasing a new diet, or it's not going to prevent you from eating regularly or anything like that. But, you know, the weight loss thoughts, they might always come and go. We live in a world that is obsessed with weight loss, so weight loss thoughts and narratives might pop up sometimes. We need to learn to navigate them, and with time, they will happen less. So first off, just remember that intentional weight loss has a 95 to 97% failure rate, and 2/3 of those people are going to gain more weight than they lost. And weight gain is not inherently a bad thing, but it's really important to remember that the pursuit of weight loss very often results in the exact opposite of what you set out to do. And this information is so important, because it means that no matter why you want to lose weight, It's not a long-term solution. It doesn't matter if it's for health or for fitness or access to clothing or mobility or aesthetics. It doesn't matter why you want to lose weight. It's often not a long-term solution. And your own lived experience is really helpful here too, to look at your own experience of, I've never long-term kept weight off from a diet, and that's not my personal failure. Diets just don't work. And so your practical application here is, when those weight loss and diet thoughts pop up, which again, they always will, you are allowed to consider it, right? Like, what would it be like to go on a diet, or what diet would I do? That's the automatic thought. We can't always control our first thought, right? But we can control our second, which is where we can come in and be like, wait, no, that actually doesn't work. That's not a real option. Dieting is not actually going to solve anything for me. And then next, you can address what might actually be going on that's bringing up those thoughts, and you can get to the root cause of the situation as opposed to wasting a ton of your time on things like, should I go on the diet that my friend's doing or not? And every time you practice it, it definitely gets a little bit easier. The impact of it gets significantly smaller and smaller every time. And a lot of times they come up because of something else that we're stressed about, right? That weight loss desire, it doesn't just pop out of nowhere. It comes up because of something else, maybe something that we're feeling insecure about or anxious about, or other deeper feelings that are coming to the surface. And in these situations that are triggering those weight loss thoughts, being able to say, no, dieting is not going to solve that. What's actually happening right now? Why am I even being tempted to diet right now? And then actually addressing the anxiety, the insecurity, the stress, whatever, instead of spending a ton of time considering the diet as a real choice, is actually going to just help you address what's really going on and help you move past it faster. So that's the first thing, is just remembering diets don't work, you know, in science, in our actual lived experience. And then on top of that, not only do diets not work, but they're also a horrible experience, right? When those thoughts pop up, we can think about what our actual experiences of dieting has been, right? Were you constantly thinking about food or constantly hungry? Did you feel deprived of things that you enjoy? Were you distracted all the time? Were you tired and cranky and irritable all the time? Did you avoid social experiences? Were you actually happy or confident? And what would you have to give up if you actually went back to that? When you put together these reflections along with that information on diets not working, you get a very strong argument for when those thoughts pop up to be able to be like, one, I've never long-term lost weight on a diet. I was miserable. It impacted my life in all these kinds of ways that I never want to do again. This is not a real option for me right now. And again, all of this is not to bring you to a point where you're like, therefore, I don't want to lose weight. It's to get to that point of being like, let's hold some space for the fact that I want to lose weight, but let's figure out what's really going on to make this come up right now, and what do I actually need in this moment. And to support you in shifting focus away and towards what you really need, I highly, highly recommend connecting with and following people on social media who are not talking about diets and weight loss, and finding communities that support your intuitive eating journey. And remember that you don't have to do this work alone. You can get support for it. I would highly recommend joining the Empowered Eaters Collective and getting support for it. I also do one-on-one coaching so that you have someone to talk about what you're dealing with and what you're thinking about, and help you process it and get tools and strategies to manage it going forward. That can be really helpful. But just remember, it's okay to feel like you want weight loss sometimes, and to maybe even have started intuitive eating hoping that it would result in weight loss. That is okay. And it's really important to eventually get to the point where you're willing to work on letting that go so you can really heal. And I'm not saying that you have to let it go forever. I know that can be a really scary thought, but to let it go enough that you can really do the work that you need to do so that you, once you're in a better place with food and your body overall, you can maybe come back to this idea of weight loss and be like, okay, here's weight loss, here's dieting. Does this really feel right for me after all this work I've done, and how do I feel now versus going back to all of that? I think people get really frustrated around this whole concept of weight loss, and I think that there's sometimes some shame around talking about it, but you know, you shouldn't feel that way. I'm really glad we had the opportunity to just talk about it, because it doesn't need to be something that we feel ashamed about. It's a very normal part of this process, and there are ways to deal with it. It can almost feel kind of taboo because you're like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, starting this intuitive eating thing and I'm going to practice all these principles, but then secretly thinking in your mind, oh yeah, I kind of hope I'm going to lose weight. So holding on to weight loss, it's normal, and being able to have an outlet to talk about it and recognize that other people in the world are feeling the same way, it feels very reassuring and helps you get to the place where you maybe are hopefully able to move past it and just really focus on doing the work. So I'm really glad that we were able to have this conversation. That is it for this week. If you're interested in joining the Empowered Eaters Collective, be sure to check that out at brittanyallisonrd.com/membership. And as always, you can come send me a message, get in touch with me on Instagram at The Food Freedom Life. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, can you leave me a rating or review on Apple or Spotify? Because that really will bump up me in the rankings and help other people find me as well. That's all for this week. I will see you next time.